Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, this next topic we're going to talk about, something I wanted to talk about for a while on the program, screen printing. I've always had such a fascination with the artists and the artwork and the art form. Chicago is a great community of artists that work in this field, including my next guest, Ryan Dugan. Dugan has been creating art and printing posters for over a decade. Most of his work centers around creating posters for rock and roll bands like Henry Rollins, Bob Mould, and the OCs, just to name a few. But his work isn't all confined to posters. You can see Ryan's works and designs all over the country in art galleries and on the covers of local papers like the Chicago Reader and New City. Dugan published his book, Dare to be Stupid, which is a collection of his poster art, back in 2015. But tonight, he's in studio with us on the download. Ryan, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So let me ask you, I mean, as a screen printer, it's such a tremendously specific and creative art form. Mm-hmm. Where do you learn it? As a kid, talk about when you're first introduced to the idea of screen printing.
Well, I originally learned to screen print in high school. I went to Johnsburg High School in Johnsburg, Illinois, and we had a graphics class where we learned basically the applied arts,
right.
Screen printing. We learned to run a small offset press, and we learned how to do vinyl plotting and stuff like that. And then the school put us to work. It was smart. So we would print T-shirts for the basketball team or the football team or whatever. So that was sort of my first introduction to screen printing.
And a lot of people will have that experience. I mean, whether it be, you know, those kind of graphics classes or in some cases, you know, that falls into the woodworking, the ugly arts, as you've called it.
Yeah.
But a lot of schools, will, at least in our generation, have done that. But actually moving forward and deciding to have a career in screen printing, how did that come about?
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't really on purpose at all. Because after I graduated high school and moved to Chicago in 2001, I went to school for advertising copywriting.
Okay.
Not even artwork advertising design or anything. I actually thought I was enrolling for advertising design and had enrolled in the copywriting program and just sort of stuck it out.
But you kept saying, this is the intro classes I have to take.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, right.
So by the end of my time at Columbia College studying advertising, I kind of decided that I did not want to work in an ad agency. And I started taking different art classes, and I took a printmaking course. And it sort of reminded me how much I liked doing that back in high school. So then post-college is sort of where I ended up back into screen printing. And that was when a bunch of my friends were in bands and I was in bands and they all needed posters and started asking me to design posters for their shows. And then that was sort of me thinking, like, I used to know how to screen print. I could probably figure this out again.
You know, it's great reading just the process that it takes, at least in the early days when you had the small apartment and you would have to clean out your closet and change up the bathroom. Talk about the experience. If you're actually going to get into screen printing, what it actually takes to do that manually in the space.
Yeah, I mean, screen printing is the cool thing about it is it's one of the only printmaking art forms you can do in a small space like your house because you don't need any giant machinery or toxic chemicals or anything like that. So what I was doing first is I was exposing stuff. Yeah, I was pulling all the clothes out of my closet because it was the only light fast room in the house to dry screens. And then I'd expose it using like lights suspended between two kitchen chairs. And then I'd wash it out in my tub. And then I'd print on a drafting table with no hinges. And then I would wash it out in my tub. And I did this for years at different apartments before I finally got a more legit setup.
Sure, yeah.
But I definitely ruined a lot of bathtubs. That was a lot of the last day of my lease cleaning the bathtub for 8 hours straight, hoping that my security deposit would come back.
And it's interesting, too, because I mean, screen printing, when you think about that process and the final product, which is a great piece of art, and it might be a band poster or it might be, you know, you've done so many different things in design, mm-hmm. and we'll get to that. But it's an art form that has been replaced by graphic design. It's been replaced by people doing Photoshop and being able to move the things here and put it together and print and go to the laundromat and say, can I put this poster up? I mean, there has been a lot of strides, but there is this callback to this art form that truly is something that you don't see every day.
Yeah, it's been had a huge resurgence in the last 25 years or so, like a big one coming out of the 90s and then in the early 2000s. But that's the thing is it is like a tactile medium where you can feel the ink on the surface of it, and it's a big, colorful thing if you want it to be. And because in high school, when I would go to see bands a lot, it was a lot of little photocopied flyers. And
right.
they would just be everywhere, little black and white photocopies. And that was sort of like on the beginning of this coming back, where you would then go see all these beautiful pieces of art as a advertisement for the show, and not just a like quick and dirty little photocopy. And we've definitely come a long way now, where the posters are on the merch table for sale.
Yeah, as an artist, you know, who we're talking to Ryan Dugan, he's a screen printer, but he's also an artist here in Chicago. Are there screen printers who brought that back, that concept? And when you talked about the 90s and the bands that I think of, any sort of the alt bands, whether it be Sonic Youth or others, but it seemed like there was a push towards doing that. Are there screen printers who you know in your community that at the forefront of doing that, bringing that back?
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is like the biggest city for this. I mean, we probably have the most screen printers per capita out of any city in America, and this is where the resurgence kind of started. And that was with Steve Walters, who runs Screwball Press. And he taught Jay Ryan how to print. And then Jay Ryan is, of course, like the biggest name who works under the name Bird Machine. And he's been making posters since the 90s. I don't even know how many thousands of posters he's made at this point. But that was kind of the big arc. And then Dan Jetza is another name. Yeah, a lot of mid to late 90s people coming out of there. And then the 2000s was when it really exploded. And all these people came out of the woodwork, myself included, just all, you know, sort of feeding into this thing. And there was a website called gigposters.com. That was like a huge online meeting place for all these.
So you could go there,
artists.
Say, hey, I'm a band. We need a poster. And you could hire an artist and that kind of thing?
No, it was there was that aspect, but it was more like a sort of a Facebook for us, for the screen printers. We had there were forums where you could learn how to build your own exposure unit or how to build a vacuum table. And then there were just, you could post your art and people would comment on it. And, you know, I've met people that I stay in their house when I go to their state now just because of this website. So it was a really cool resource for that. And it was like something that came out of that huge explosion of gig poster art.
Ryan Dugan is my guest. He's the author of Dare to be Stupid, which is a collection of his unique poster art. He's a screen printer and an artist here in Chicago. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation with Ryan here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. In studio, artist Ryan Dugan. He's a screen printer. He's also an artist. He does tons of poster art for rock and roll bands, but he also does designs. You can see a lot of his work are the top 50 art, New City issue, and the Chicago Reader. You're in the best of a couple of those. I'm interested to talk to you about, and this is, it might be a stupid question, but I've always, as sort of someone who's paid attention to it, not really known much about screen printing when it comes to the rock world. How much of it is artists doing it pro bono, or you know, the idea that they love a band and they do a screen print for them even though they don't know anything about it? And how much of it is it they get commissioned?
I think it's...
Is that a dumb question?
No,
it feels like a dumb question.
No, it's not a dumb question. I think that there are very few people who do it pro bono and just do it for the love of it. I think that the posters that nobody's paying for are being made by somebody in the band.
Okay, right.
Because
right,
I feel
right.
like most bands, there's at least one person in that band that is somewhat visually inclined and will take on the task of making the poster for that
right.
band. And then when that band gets big enough or plays a big enough show and thinks they're going to make their money back on the show, they will hire out somebody that, you know, is already doing this professionally to make the poster. And
I think of Sonic Youth as a good example. Like, I'll see a poster online, or I'll see it maybe at Metro. This is before, you know, it broke up. But the idea that, you know, you'll see it and you go, oh, this is great. And it's so particular to this show at this time to screen print this just for here. It's not something that they made in, you know, in Seattle and then just, you know, brought it everywhere because they haven't. And I always wondered, is that an homage to the band, or is the band paying for that service?
Yeah, the band is almost always paying for that service, or the venue sometimes will foot the bill of that if they're actually planning on using it for advertising purposes. So, yeah, it's usually that a venue or a band will approach me or any artist, and they'll work out the information for the show, and then it's sort of a back and forth on art typically. But I think most of us kind of you know what you're getting into when you approach. When I get approached, so people know what I'm making, it's usually not a lot of rounds of editing or anything like
that. It's an interesting, I mean, it's such an art form that is attached to another art form when it comes to music. I mean, it became such a great way to to, I guess, deal with something that has to be done in the idea of promotion and advertising.
Yeah.
And to actually make it an artistic venture as opposed to just here's a flyer that I photocopied.
Yeah.
It's almost unique to rock and roll, to indie rock in particular, because you think of hip-hop shows and they'll take just a picture of the rapper and they'll put it on, they'll lacquer it up on a Post No Bills, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not like a shared experience across the board. It's almost like it's very indigenous to rock and roll.
Yeah, it is. There are very few people who have, because we do these events called Flatstock, which is a poster festival. That's where a bunch of us who do this all get together, and the biggest one is during South by Southwest in Austin coming up in March. And that one is where there are hundreds of us, and it's basically like a car show. It's a huge indoor carpeted pipe and drape thing, and you just walk by, and every booth is a different artist. And there is a guy, Bobby Dixon, in Austin, who does hip-hop posters, but he's damn near the only one because it really is like a rock-based thing. There's a lot of metal, and there's a lot of people who specifically work in metal because it's a very, you know, usually a very specific looking poster. But yeah, it's a lot of rock, indie rock, and then of course like punk rock, which is where a lot of this kind of thing came from. Bands like Black Flag in the 80s having Raymond Pettibon making posters and then just wheat pasting them on poles and everything and like advertising it very DIY.
It's such an interesting way to look at art. And for me, it's interesting to see the difference. You know, for you as an artist, you forego the idea of fine art, you know, and posters fit in the middle somewhere because they're very artistic, but they don't necessarily get classified with that fine art, I guess, genre, if you will. So talk about that, because I thought it was interesting that the dichotomy between the fine arts and what you call the ugly arts.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I sort of consider myself an illustrator more than an artist. I make art, but my day job and my main thing is as an illustrator, and I like to have a starting point. I like working on a poster for a band because I can listen to that band, and then I have a starting point. It's not just pulling it out of thin air.
You can be inspired by their music, right?
Yeah, so, or I already know what their album art looks like, and I know kind of like the general visual aesthetic they have. So I like a starting point. I sort of treat it like, I think like if it was the 40s, 50s, or 60s, I would be working for an ad agency or some sort of company just sitting at a desk illustrating things for the backgrounds of other things, or like, you know, the sort of unsung artists of that era where you're just creating for this purpose. Or working for like a gag gift company. I feel like that would absolutely be my, like, just illustrating.
That's what you'd be doing?
Illustrating the boxes for like a gag gift novelty company.
That's right. Well, I mean, as an illustrator, where do you find yourself gravitating to when it comes to the art world? I mean, are illustrators tight with painters? Are they tight with musicians? Like, where does illustration fit in into the spectrum of artists?
Well, I think now, everybody kind of uses their own medium. I don't think it's sort of based on that anymore. I think it's whether you are creating something specifically for an end result or you're creating something just to create it. So I think whether you paint or whether you're a draftsman or you are creating on a computer, these are things that can still end up a screen print. Like a lot of people will do the whole design on the computer and then output it and use this hands-on medium to print it.
Oh, interesting.
Whereas, like, you know, there's the other complete route where most of my films are made by hand. I paint or draw right onto acetate, and then I make the screens from that and print it by hand. But, yeah, there's a million ways of going about it.
Now, you said you like to start with a starting point. Are you the kind of artist that likes to work with an endpoint, meaning you're commissioned and this is what you have to do? The reader comes to you and says, do a cover for us. Or are you the kind of artist and illustrator that says, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm doing this for a creative venture. I want to see where it goes.
I think it's a combination. I mean, it's always nice to have a deadline. Like, that's a great thing to light a fire under your ass. And I like being approached by the reader, because that's very specific. That's not even just a concert poster. They usually have something in mind. It's this specific issue, or this is a illustration that's accompanying this specific article. So that is what I really like to do, and I wish that was still an industry.
Right, right.
Like to be a political cartoonist or to be some sort of a, you know, illustrator on staff at a newspaper is like a dream job that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And to kind of go farm it out
on
my own.
A great idea, though. If you had an illustrator instead of a photographer for news, like a, well, the New Yorker did it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, yeah. It exists in small pockets, but it used to be huge. I mean, editorial cartoonists were on staff at every major newspaper.
Yeah. You've done such great work, and you could see the work in the book Dare to Be Stupid, a collection of poster art, Ryan Dugan's poster art, but you've also done great designs that you can get on the website, and there's also the commissions for news organizations. What is the end game for you? I mean, is the end game to make money at your art? Would you rather work in one form than another?
I don't know. I kind of like having a mixture of work that I'm sort of thrown, and concert poster art has always probably been my favorite, just because it's, I guess, what I sort of got started in going down this road. But, you know, I like to do all kinds of stuff that gets thrown my way, and I guess the end goal would be that I continue to pay my bills and feed myself every day by making art and drawing.
And trying to have a place where you don't have to clean out the tub when you move.
Yeah.
Right?
Ideally.
Ryan Dugan, it's a pleasure to have you in studio tonight. I'd love to talk more with you at some point, just as, you know, the next project, let us know. You and others in Chicago have made the concert going experience alone a better experience by being able to look at the walls as you walk in and the old flyers with the black and white scanned from whoever had the office job. I'm glad that has gone away and your art has replaced it. Ryan Dugan, his book is called Dare to Be Stupid, which is a collection of his poster art. He has done posters for rock and roll bands like Henry Rollins, Bob Mould, the OCs. That's just to name a few. There's hundreds. Also does so much work with local publications like The Reader and New City. Ryan, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.